I'm going to bless you today. When I bless you, something is going to flow from the presence of God to you, and your home will change forever. You say, how do you know that? Because I've increased my capability. I know how to be a father in the spirit. I know how to bless. Some of you have not learned a new thing from the scriptures in years. You don't know spiritual principles like you should. You don't understand how to break through. You don't know how to fight the enemy. I teach a series called Father's House, and in it, one of my sections is on spiritual warfare, the 10 principles of spiritual warfare. I teach you 10 things whereby you overcome the enemy. You will win all the time. How did I find that? Studied. Increased myself. Not only have I increased my capability, I've increased my capacity. People say to me, what does your schedule look like? Father Dan used to say to me when we were in Connecticut together, he said, we sleep a week before you come and we sleep a week after you leave. Am I telling you the truth?
Amen.
He never called it a marathon, he called it a yanathon. Because I would sleep 5 hours a day. I would be ready all the time. I do never allow myself to say sleep or weariness or pain is a limitation to me. I do not stop. I've preached for years with excruciating pain in my back and hips. I ignore it. It is in my way. I do not submit myself to that junk. Because by his stripes I was healed. So I'm just going to keep receiving healing until I'm totally well.
Amen.
I've gone through such heartache in life. I've never allowed it to get me to sit in a room, close the blinds, and sulk. I try to be like David, who after he lost his little baby, he got up, washed himself, and put on new clothes. Said, haven't you just lost your child? He said, he can't come to me, but I can go to him. He said, I can't do anything about what's happened. I need to move on. I've got work to do. So many of us give up on life. We quit. Not totally, but we quit on areas. I'm never again going to love. I'm never again going to marry. I'm never again going to work for somebody else. I'm never again going to trust anybody. We quit. And we lose capacity. The ability to do great things for God. My wife has built a total apostolic center. I'm talking about a large piece of property with many buildings on it. She knows nothing about building. Then. Now, the Holy Spirit guided her. When she bought metal for the roofing, the guy would say to her, you need 4 millimeters. She'd go in prayer, she'd come back, she says, no, I need 6 millimeters. She knows everything about foundations. She knows how to tile. She knows how to paint. She knows how to build. She didn't start like that. She faced what was in front of her and said, because I have God and no money, I'm going to do this. In 2 years, she completed a total resort. We only have 6 months to go, and we will have totally finished everything we started. People drive past and take videos. Tourists from other countries take pictures of our place all the time. Because of her. She could have said, I can't do this. She travels the world. We got married. She got on a plane within 2 weeks of marrying me. Never been traveling in a ministry situation. Got no idea what the hang I do. Ask me questions. What do I do? How do I do this? Today, many places, she's a legend. She moves in such power of God. She moves in such grace. She has learned how to handle difficult people. She's been so bullied by women all over the world because she married me. People walk up to her and say, "We just want to ask you to forgive us. We didn't think you were right for him." Hurtful. She has never succumbed to that. She has got up on her feet and she says, "I can either be bitter or better." Today she walks with me, works with me, functions with me. She never is slow. I walked into the room this morning, my pants are ironed and put out. My shirt is put out for me. She loves me and looks after me. She doesn't say, "Well, I've been working the whole day." She keeps pushing herself. She's the greatest example of capacity and capability increase I've ever seen in my life. She uses no excuses. If there's a job to be done, she will do it. If there's a war to be fought, she's in it. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is looking for somebody. He's looking for somebody who's going to get off of the game, going to stop playing the game. Who's going to start to believe God? Who's going to take a step into a place they don't even know where they're going, but because they have the God they have, they're safe. We pay more attention to demons than we do to the power of God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am always caused to triumph. I am more than a conqueror. If God is for me, who can be against me? These aren't just words to me. These are promises and truth. So God can tell me to go anywhere. God can tell me to do anything, and I'll obey. Because if God thinks I'm big enough to go, I know that he's big enough to care for me. The potential in this room is stunning. I have to tell you, the more I'm with you, the more I realize who you are. I'm not buttering you up. I'm telling you the fact. There is something in this house that is supernatural. It's something that is ancient. It's something that is real. And I'm telling you now, we've got to be bigger than we were 20 years ago. We've got to get some work done here, guys. Amen. We can't sit and moan about the way the society runs in this place. We've got to make the difference. In your position, where you are, you need to influence your realm. You are God's answer. I'm sorry that I speak about my wife so much today, but she goes to a new town. And instead of being rejected and as a Christian, the highest people in society have found her and become her friends. The mayor and his wife adore Sarah. They adore me too, but they can't tell me because they speak Thai. Key players all around the country love her. Because when she walks into a situation, she is not the underdog. She's like Esther, where the king says, "I'll give you whatever you want, even up to half the kingdom." And she never even asked for it. Why? Because of the way she presented herself. You know, when you walk in and you have such honor on you, when you carry such honor and stature, people are not stupid. How much have you worked on yourself? How much are you working on yourself? What plans have you got for this year? What plans have you got to change? What plans have you got to get better? What plans have you got to impact people around you in your neighborhood? Well, I haven't thought about that. There's the problem. Jesus gave us a command that we need to love our neighbors. Not a suggestion. It's a command. You've got to go and find your neighbors and you've got to do something for them. Your neighbor's going on leave for 6 weeks. You say to them, you don't have to worry about your lawn. I'll cut it for you. Your neighbor's wife goes into the hospital to have a baby. You go in, as she goes in, this guy is standing alone. He comes home at night. He has to take takeaways to feed himself. Where are we? We should go to him and say, we would like very much to be able to feed you. And we're not just making a suggestion. We really want to do this. But please tell us what you don't like and what you do like. And it'll be ready for you at 6 o'clock every night. You see a neighbor's car messed up and he clearly has no idea how to fix it and he hasn't got the money to fix it. You say to him, listen, I'm good on vehicles. Let me help you. I'm closing. I came to a little town called Triangle in 1981. I became the pastor of the little town. 18 people. That was my first church. Within 6 years, it was 14 churches. Favor of God was on me. I find a man come to visit the second weekend that I'm there. I come out of my room on a Sunday afternoon, and here's this character sitting in my lounge. I don't know what it's like in America, but if you just walk into somebody's house and sit on their sofa, it's like, what the hang are you doing? You've trespassed, right? This guy's just sitting there. So I said, hi, can I help you? So he said, oh no, we've just popped by to come and see. I said, who's we? He said, me and my wife. I said, where's she? She's in the kitchen making tea. She's what? I mean, I'm steaming. You have no right to do this. Well, he's just awkward. You know, some people are just awkward. They've never learned any social skills. They say the wrong things at the wrong time. They don't even know they're doing it. This guy was like that. He was like Peter. In fact, his name was Peter. So I said, what is the reason for the visit? He said, I want you to know this. He said, I can fix anything. If it's a car, if it's a washing machine, if it's anything. And I want you to know that I'm here to serve you for as long as you are here. He said, I've got a farm and I've got all the implements to keep a home tidy. He said, you never have to worry about cutting your lawn ever again. And in Zimbabwe, where I was, the lawn needs cutting every twice a week. Wow. He said, whatever flowers and plants you want, don't buy them. I have access to all of that. He said, you tell me what you want, where, and I will bring my workers and they'll make sure your yard becomes beautiful. For 6 years, that man poured out his life for us. He lived Christianity. He never asked anything. He never wanted anything. He just wanted to bless because he was like Jesus. What are you like? Does this world know you? Are you known by people? I'm not talking about because you're a jerk. I'm talking about because you really look like Jesus. Are you known by people? Do the people around you know that you are there? How do you present? When you walk into a shop, do people serve you because they love you, or they serve you because you're just another customer? Wherever we go, we should be releasing blessings, restaurants, cafes, grocery stores. Wherever we go, we should be shining. We've been put on this earth with assignments that we're supposed to do every day. St. Luke's, the hand of God is on you. I'm not exaggerating. There's a massive anointing on this house. And it's your time. Your time has come. I'm telling you, it's been a time of quiet, a time of loss, a time of frustration, but I'm telling you, your time has come. And all I preach to you today is that God is looking for somebody. If you've put something on hold, activate it again. Stop playing games. Stop just filling a chair. Make your presence felt. Don't leave this place until you encourage one person. How do you encourage? I'll tell you. Observe. Observe. You present as such a wonderful couple. Tremendous. Your dedication, the way you treat each other. I've watched you. I'd have you on my team anytime. You have such a great connection to the Lord. You live the life. You're a prayer warrior. I don't know what you do, but I know that you're used by God.
Read your mail, honey.
See? It's because you need encouragement, because you encourage so many. You say, why does she need encouragement? Because this is what it means. Encourage means to put courage in for the next season. Receive it. God's with you. You as a couple. Are you married? Okay. Yeah. You as a couple have had a burning desire to do more for God. You don't want to just be average. You don't want to just be another group. You really want to. You've heard stories that have stirred your heart. And God says to you, son and daughter, I'm going to use you even greater than what you've heard. Amen. But you need to do what you heard today. Don't let it. Get rid of some friends. They're not doing you any good. By the way, that's for all of you. Get rid of some friends. There's some people that are messing you up. Bad company corrupts good morals. Don't hang around with an angry man. He will disturb your spirit. Proverbs tells us that. Don't befriend an angry person. Kristen and Dan, I see in the spirit an eagle soaring, trying to find its place for its nest. Many eagles do not choose trees, they choose the side of cliffs. Very precarious places, very, very dangerous places. They do it on purpose because it is a launching pad for their young. And if they don't fly, they die. The drop is deadly. And so their duty is to feed them until they can fly. And the Lord says, you found your nest.
Amen.
You found your nest. You can have babies now. No, not like that. Not like that. And God is going to bring you people that have got these large appendages on the side of their bodies that they've never known why they're there. and you're going to kick them out. And as they're falling, because of your training, they're going to instinctively do this. You've longed to see sons and daughters fly. This is your nest. This is your place. And they're going to feed you. And you're going to fill out. And you're going to get, I don't mean fill out, you know. I mean feathers. You're going to get muscle. You're going to get ready to fly. Things are coming off of you that have held you back for years. This is a miraculous place. Even now, how many of you have felt the presence of the Holy Spirit on you throughout? Raise your hands. See what I'm telling you? God's here. Receive right now. Receive increased stature. I'm releasing it to you. In the name of Jesus. Not in Yanel's name. In the name of Jesus. I release to you growth. I release to you breakthrough. I release to you a strategy from heaven to grow like you've never grown before. That you would start to develop unbelievable wings that will take you thousands and thousands of miles. Some of you are going to fly intercontinental. Well, you're not listening to me. Some of you in this room are going to fly from continent to continent doing the work of the Lord. Some of you, if you hear what I'm saying, get your passports ready. It's not a joke. God is looking for somebody. Speak strategy to your minds. The ability to know what to do tomorrow. The ability to know what to do this year. In Jesus' name. My wife and I would like to thank you. I really mean that. Are you ready? My wife and I would like to thank you. I came here in April and I asked you to pray. Because we were going to drill for water and we had been told consistently that there was no water available in our region. They had done professional studies on our land. They had done soundings. A professor from the university had come with a team and checked it out, said very little chance. Everybody around us said you won't find water because everyone who's tried to drill for water has never found it. And you're higher than everybody. My wife and I stood on the property. We prayed a prayer of agreement 3 years ago. And the prayer was that we are going to find water that has four qualities. Number one, it'll be clear. It'll be clean. It will be strong. And it will be ongoing, everlasting. Hallelujah. On that promise, these people came in to drill and drilled near where we stood 3 years ago. At 67 meters, they hit water. And it was exactly the four things we had said. We have got a pump that can only pump 10,000 liters an hour. That is 2,000 gallons an hour. It's got a much larger capacity than that, but that's all we can pump. Otherwise, we have to buy a massive pump, and we don't need it. We've got a couple of photos to show you that your prayers worked. That you joined us in prayer, and I don't know where it's going, but yeah, it's going to come on those screens.
We couldn't get them loaded. We thought they were loading.
Okay, no problem. All I can tell you is we've got pictures of the water shooting out while they are pumping all over the place. And then there's a picture of them putting a pipe on a pump. And the water is shooting from here to my brother over there standing in a column that big. clean.
Hallelujah.
Beautiful. Tested. It's 100%. God's still in the work of miracles.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for receiving us. Thank you for having us. Please come on Wednesday night and be inspired to serve God more. God bless you. Thank you.